our worship service here today at Oregon Lutheran Church, our members and guests and visitors, and even those on the live stream or watching later on. We want to welcome you to our worship service. We do have a few announcements that I know of. First, we want to thank Miss Ann Shive for playing this morning. We really appreciate you playing here for us, keeping everything going for us. Another celebratory announcement, Ann and Clarence Miller have their 47th wedding anniversary. Is that surprising? No? Okay, yeah, that's good. Okay. Okay, good. Okay, well, this week is their 47th wedding anniversary, so we'd like to celebrate with them. So let's celebrate with them this week in that wonderful celebration of their wedding. And this Thursday, we're going to have committee night at 7. It is in the bulletin later on underneath, not necessarily the week there, but just remember that it is at 7 o'clock this Thursday. So if you're signed up for a committee or you want to be, please come. We'll meet in the Sunday school wing, and we'll have the some of the new business and things that we'll do for the different communities or different committees here at Oregon. Also, next Sunday is the crock pot meal and the fellowship, so please be mindful of that. You don't necessarily need to sign up. You can just show up for that, but please stick around and share in that fellowship with us. And also next Sunday is when the council is going to be meeting with Pastor Ken Reed about the call process. So that's one of the big meetings for talking about what's going to happen next here at Oregon. So just be mindful of that if you're on council. We do have a prayer list in here, so please be praying for those on it. And I know Frank Brady's going to have a surgery coming up soon, and there's a lot of process to go through that. So please be praying for him. Also, Terry Morrison is at Liberty Commons, and then, like I said, the rest of the prayer list there. Do we have any other announcements? Did I miss anything else that anybody knows of? Well, if not, then let's stand for the invocation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen.
Arise, O light, as God, the Spirit throws us.
Please be seated. We invite the children forward for the children's sermon. How are you? Y'all good? Good morning, everybody. Now, does anybody have a talent? You do? Oh, okay. What about you? What's that? You say creating things. That's cool. Yeah, you can create things, absolutely. Anybody else have a talent? No? Well, guess what? You do have a talent. And guess what? It might be something that is so easy for you to do that you don't even realize it's a talent that not everybody can do. Do you know that? Does anybody else have a... Do y'all have any examples of a talent? No? Cooking? Really? Okay. I'll have to remember that. That sounds good. But sometimes our talents we don't even realize are things that we're good at that not everybody is really good at. But guess what? The cool thing is there. God has given everybody talents and things that they're good at to help other people who aren't really good at those things. So I need somebody's help, okay? Okay, somebody come up here with me real quick. Please. Nobody? Nobody? Okay, you can come on up. Okay, now, the Bible talks about us in church being like the body of Christ, right? So, Kaya, can you walk and don't bump into anything and try to walk and sit down, okay? Go ahead. Just walk and sit down. Don't bump into anything. Just walk up there and sit down where you were. Sorry, Daddy's not super. Just walk. You can walk. You don't have to try to. There you go. Okay, now come back real quick. Okay, now close your eyes and try to do the same thing. No peeking. Do you know about where you are yet? You might bump into something. It's a little harder, right? But guess what? If we're the body of Christ and somebody else around here was able to open their eyes and help you, then you'd be able to do it better than if you had your eyes closed, right? And that's how we're supposed to be with the body of Christ. Our talents that we have, it might be like we're Christ's eyes. And maybe we're like the feet or the hands. And when we all work together, then we function the way that we're supposed to as the body of Christ. So I want you to remember this. Can you please remember this? The things that God has made you good at, we need to find ways that you can use that for his kingdom and the church and for the body of Christ, because that's what we're supposed to do. He didn't give us things that we're good at for nothing. He gave them to help each other and love one another and glorify him. Does that sound good? Can we do that? All right, well, let's pray, and then we'll go ahead, get a sucker. You can go to Children's Church. Dear Lord, we thank you that you show us that you love us so much by giving us this community that we can live in, the church, and help one another and make life better for each of us as we all glorify you and live with you in your church. And we just ask that you continually show us the ways that we can do that better and better. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, y'all. Do I have a sucker? Please stand for the apostolic reading. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, you restrain the powers of heaven and earth. Mercifully hear your people's prayer for peace in our time. Grant this, we pray, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pass the peace to one another.
Sitting right back there. First reading comes from Isaiah 49th chapter. Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother. He named my name. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver he hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my right is with the Lord, and my recompense with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength." He says, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nation, the servant of rulers. Kings shall see and arise, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you." Here ends the reading. Now let's read responsibly Psalm 40. I waited patiently upon the Lord. He stooped to me and heard my cry. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many shall see and stand in awe and put their trust in the Lord. Great things are they that you have done, O Lord my God. How great your wonders and your plans for us. There is none who can be compared with you. In sacrifice and offering, you take no pleasure. You have given me ears to hear you. In the roll of the book, it is written concerning me. I love to do your will, O my God. Your law is deep in my heart. Your righteousness have not hidden in my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your deliverance. I have not concealed your love and faithfulness from the great congregation. Second reading comes from 1 Corinthians. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sothenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Here ends the reading.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, 'I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him.' I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." The next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. As we look at all of the readings for today, a common theme that we see there is about God's call in some capacity. Now, last week, if you remember, we talked about like a specific idea that is a little bit different way of looking at some of the Old Testament things, but it's this idea that Jesus was the servant that was talked about in the Old Testament, the suffering servant. And the suffering servant is the one who becomes Israel. And that's why Jesus is baptized for all righteousness' sake, because he's becoming Israel and therefore doing what Israel couldn't do themselves, and therefore fulfilling God's plan and linking the Old Testament people of God with the New Testament people of God and all these things. And Isaiah 49, what we read today, is actually one of the more straightforward passages that do show us this. If we go back and read it with that in mind, it does show us this thing. It's one of the most straightforward things. God called his servant to finish the work that Israel was supposed to do. And that was a call on the suffering servant of God. But that was too small a job for the servant of God. That's what it says in our reading from today. Also, that servant was going to take that call, do what Israel was supposed to do, and then what was going to happen was what was supposed to happen. The light to the nations and the city on a hill, those things were going to happen through the servant who became Israel. All of the nations God would bring to himself, because just bringing Israel back was going to be too small of a job for God and his servant. If we move into the gospel, we see a call in that John confirms that Jesus is the Messiah and that the suffering servant who is to come and become Israel, that Jesus is that servant, that Jesus becomes Israel. And John is there to confirm that for everybody else. And sure enough, some of his followers end up following Jesus because of this. There's a confirmation, not from Jesus himself, but from God to someone else to double down on that call, to show everyone else around that Jesus was called for that mission. Now, the verse right after where we ended today, the next couple words, is actually when Jesus sees Simon Peter, and he says, "You are Simon, the son of John, but you will be called Peter." And there that begins. The one who's called by God to be the light to the nations, and the city on a hill, starting to call the first of this community, the church, and connecting it back to God's people beforehand. So there's a lot of call here. God calling people to a specific thing that they are to do for him and for his kingdom. But the second reading from 1 Corinthians is where it really applies to us. And I talked with the children a little bit about specific gifts that we have that we can use to help each other here in the church, that we can all be the body of Christ as we use our different gifts. And as Kaya was walking up and kind of differently walking on knees and feet and everything else, and then walking with her eyes closed, and if someone else has the gift that would help her get to where she's going, then that works a lot better. And that is part of this. We know that in that reading, we see that we are to be enriched by one another through Christ, and that we have all knowledge and all speech and all of these things, and that we'll be together as saints in one body. But an interesting part of that reading is the call that all of us have that we don't need any discernment for. Because sometimes you may have a call on your life that you just think of it as something you're good at, as a talent. And you might think of it as something that is something that everyone can do. But you don't know that it's not something everyone can do, and that you can use that to help your brothers and sisters in Christ here at Oregon and even beyond Oregon in the body of Christ. You can help with what comes naturally to you, because that might be actually a talent, and therefore it's a call that God's put on your life to use that to serve him and to enrich the body of Christ. But More important is the call that we don't have to try to discern. We don't have to look inward and say, what am I good at and can I use that any better? It's just blatantly laid out for us in what Paul's saying in the second reading. He says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. That's pretty straightforward. That's everybody that Paul was writing to originally. That's the whole church. That's us here included. You're called very clearly into this fellowship. Now, we got up this morning. We got ready. We came here. We're all here gathered together. So are you fulfilling your call? In some sense, by being here, yeah, you're fulfilling your call, but not fully. Not fully, because being gathered on Sunday isn't what it's all about. This fellowship that we have together, here at Oregon specifically, and even outside with the greater body of Christ, it's not just gathering together. It is rolling in all the other things that we talked about, your time and talent and treasure, to live in the fullness of this fellowship. Part of it is understanding what this fellowship is supposed to be. This body of Christ, what's it supposed to be? It's supposed to be counter to the rest of the world. It's supposed to be a place where when you are in need, you have that need met by others whose talents allow them to meet that need. Or where you actively look for needs that need to be met, to see if you might be the one to meet it. Building each other up in the body of Christ, being there, sacrificially being there, taking our time away from other things to be there for one another. Also, spreading the gospel. You might not be someone who likes to speak in public, like me. Do not enjoy public speaking that much. I love teaching, so it forces me to do public speaking. But when you sacrificially use your time and your talents and your treasures for one another, we start to see that this is the message that has to be shared. We have to tell other people about this community. Last week we talked about baptism. We have to tell other people what baptism does. It gets rid of despair. It shows us that we have Christ, the foundation of the universe, doing the work for us. That's something that needs to be shared. That's something that brings other people into this fellowship. And God has called us all to be in this fellowship. It's spreading the gospel, caring for one another, and doing our part in that. But it's also being open to follow God for the specifics in a lot of cases. It's getting out of our own way, not relying too heavily on our own opinions, because if the Holy Spirit is the only one who could do these things through us, then we really need to help each other rely on God. That's hard for me sometimes, but if you're a person that your first reaction is to pray and listen, then your talent is reminding other people to rely on God first. People like me need that. You might not think of that as a talent, but if that's the way you're wired, then that is a specific call on your life. And the broader call on your life is to be a part of this fellowship fully, completely, and use that talent to help your brothers and sisters. Like I said to the kids, not one person here doesn't have a very specific talent or position that you're put in or even monetary gifts that can be given to help other people. No one here is without something to give, specifically. Also, no one here is not called in the broader call to be a part of this fellowship. That's the main call on our life, is to leave the world and its system behind and be a part of this kingdom. And following God in the specifics is how we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us into what this fellowship is supposed to be. I said this in a meeting this past week with another pastor, that we have a lot of different people that are going outside of the church for learning theology or monetary help or any type of thing in either a Christian ministry that they call parachurch, so outside of the church, a ministry that's outside of the church that works toward those things are great. But what they should be doing is helping the church specifically if the church can't do something in a specific area. It shouldn't be replacing the church. I think some of the reason why these parachurch ministries are so prevalent all around us is because they're doing the church's work. Because we don't see that the call for all of us is to be a part of this fellowship specifically the way God designed it to be. That we're a part of the body of Christ. The body of Christ is alive. A body that's alive lives and breathes and moves and acts. It doesn't lay there dead. And I'm not talking just about organ, but it is and has been for a long time now. Something that happens is people don't go to the church. They go somewhere else to have their needs met. Those other places are there because they have to be. But our call is to meet those needs. I think that if we all could understand our call more than just what am I specifically good at, but our call into this fellowship first and foremost, and to be in this fellowship in a way that makes the body of Christ active and living and acting to help our neighbors, to spread the gospel, if we could do that, then exactly what God designed for the church would start to happen. People would come here for what they need. The hurting people in the world and the dying world out there and the hopeless world would find that we are the city on the hill and a light to the nations, and that we point them to Christ, just as Christ was called by God to come and do his work, and therefore Jesus' work was part of it, was calling us to continue that. This is an unbroken chain of God's calling us to do what we need to do in the meantime until Jesus comes back and there's no possibility of sin and crying anymore. That's a high calling. And we're it. So I want to think together as we continue in this year, especially in a time of transition where we'll be thinking about a call committee and we'll be calling someone in as a pastor. As we're doing these things, think about your time and your talents and think about how you can use those and how you can use those in harmony with the rest of the church and how we can get out of our own way and use what God has given us and be stewards of that in such a way that it has God's fingerprints all over it, and God is the one who plans and leads us forward. That's an awesome, high calling that we have. Every single one of us. I am talking to you. Let's do that together. If we do that, then we might need a bigger building. We might need a bigger building, not so we can turn around and say, hey, look at this, look how awesome organ is, look at all these pews filled. But we need a bigger building because God is continually calling us to help. And there's a nearly infinite amount of need out there. So let's do this together. Let's think about, first and foremost, you are called to this fellowship, and that is not just showing up on Sundays. That's all the other specifics that he gives us. The living, active body of Christ acting in the world, we're it. I think we can do that. I think we can do that. And the first way, the only way we can do that is to follow the Holy Spirit. Only way. And so let's do that together. If you have something that you're good at, reach out. Let's figure out how we can use that. Like, even picking up chairs and tables, even planning chairs and tables for an event, not good at that. Not good at that. Please do not see anything that God has given you a talent in as being not worth the body of Christ. because that is exactly the opposite of the way that God has designed this. Let's do that together. Let's use our gifts to serve the even higher calling of being a part of this living, active body of Christ fellowship. Amen. Now let us confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now let us pray. Lord, we thank you for all the blessings that you give us, for all the ways that you show us that you do love us, and we just ask that we be continually reminded of that and the wonderful thing that we have in a relationship with you. Help us never to forget it. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for Oregon in this time of transition, as we look to do our due diligence and form a call committee and call a new pastor here. And we just ask that you guide us in all these things and everything that it takes, and remind us to be in harmony with one another, to work together, to do what's best for your community here, so that we can better do what you called us to. Lord, in your mercy. God, we ask that you remind us always that you have put a call in our lives. Specifically, help us to discern the things that you've called us to. But remind us that even greater than that, you have called all of us to this fellowship. And guide us with your Holy Spirit so that this body can be what you've designed it to be. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for all of those on our prayers list, the sick and the hurting. Help us in this specific way to be your hands and feet and to aid all of those in whatever way you would have us to. And mostly, you as the great physician, we ask that you be with all of those people. Lord, in your mercy. All of these things we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the Lord be with you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you.
Now go in peace, serve the Lord.